Before starting, I want to express my profound gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and also to the organizers of this Padayatra or Parikrama. I look today at Abhiram and I could see that two little heads are growing under his shirt because he needs some extra heads to manage. I also want to thank first and foremost Srila Prabhupada for introducing us to Vrindavan, to Giriraj, to Sri Radhakund and Syamakund, and to the holy name. And I would like to now take the opportunity to address you with some important jewels of instructions from Srila Prabhupada, which we would like to share with all of you on his disappearance day. See, a disappearance day creates a problem for a disciple. Because, yes, on one hand, we are lamenting that our guide, our spiritual master, has left us several years ago on this day. Yet, in another way, the spiritual master is always together with a sincere disciple by his instructions. So it's really a question, is it a disappearance day, or can we maybe make this day an appearance day of Srila Prabhupada in our lives by becoming more aware and more willing to follow his instructions? This is a question which on a disappearance day stands with bright colors and pronounced question marks before us. Has our spiritual master really left us? Or can we in some other ways be together with him and feel his association and more so his guidance in our lives? So I would like to discuss on this question and request all of you to chant with me the pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Vanchakalpataru Vaisya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In some ways, Srila Prabhupada always wanted to be seen as a messenger who had brought a message to us. In his well-known prayers, which he composed when he was on his journey from India to America, he speaks about this aspect of being a messenger. A little while ago, I read a little bit in the book Light in the Darkness, which is the letters of Mother Teresa, which she wrote in her days when she took care of the poor people, dying people in Calcutta. And in that book, Light in the Darkness, we find a poem which she wrote when she was on the ship from Macedonia, that's near Yugoslavia, it is where the Mediterranean Sea is, her homeland, when she was on the ship from her homeland to India, the other way around. And she expresses feelings in that poem which are very heart-touching. She says, I don't know how the people of India will receive me, this little helpless nun. I also don't know how I will be able to function in India. It's such a difficult land. But I know one thing. My Lord, who has brought me on the ship, can take care of me even in India. So Prabhupada wrote on the Jaladuta from India to America, my Lord, I don't know why you have brought me here. But you can make me dance. You can make me dance as you wish. I have brought to these people the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this message, Prabhupada is a messenger. He has a divine message to give to the world. Once when he was in Hawaii, he was interviewed and his interview appeared in the Honolulu. Let me see if I say it right. Honolulu, Honolulu, something like, it sounds really Lulu. Honolulu Advertiser. This is what the Honolulu Advertiser said. The Swami is a small man, but he has got a big message. When Prabhupada heard this, he smiled. He thought, yes, that's me. I have a big message. And his message is variously explained in his books. But I found it very, very appealing for the heart. Here in a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, when he spoke his message, he was in the first canto, the eighth chapter, and he said to his audience, and I will try to speak it with a little bit emphasis so that you can allow yourself to be touched by his message. You enter into Krishna's family. Now he invites us, enter into Krishna's family, Vrindavan family. Where Krishna has got his father, his mother, his friends, his lover, his beloved, his cows, his garden, his Jamuna. You enter that family, then yat gadva na nivatante, then you will not have to return back again to this temporary family which will not stay. Krishna comes, Krishna is so kind that you are so much fond of family life. Just here, see, I have got my family. I'm not impersonal. I have got my family. I have got my father. I have got my mother. I have got my friend. I have got my beloved Radha Rani and the gopis. Everything I have got. You can enter also. Come, come. Why are you rotting here? That is Krishna's mission. So the Krishna consciousness movement. Did you ever want to know what it means to be a member of this movement? Here is one of Prabhupada's really short definitions. So the Krishna consciousness movement means to practice in this life, now, how to enter Krishna's family. He had a big message. A message where he went to the whole world. A message which he repeated in the TV stations, in the newspapers, which he repeated before his disciples. You come, you come. You enter Krishna's family. And when you do this, yat gatva nanivartante, you will never ever return to this world of birth and death. Wow! That's really a big message. Once, and Prabhupada never got carried into something else than I have my duty, I have my message, I'm a messenger. Once, after a large group of devotees were initiated at 61 Second Avenue, Prabhupada walked through New York. His head was held characteristically very high, like this. And he was surrounded by ecstatically dancing barefoot devotees, you know, in New York. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. You should have seen when Prabhupada appeared somewhere in the airports of the world, there would be always ecstatic devotees barefoot, you know, shaved up and not with enough sleep because they were so excited and doing all kinds of unusual manifestations of joyfulness. So Prabhupada was only a few times a little annoyed by his overly enthusiastic and sometimes a little foolish disciples, but in this occasion you can see him. He walks through New York. Barefoot devotees are just dancing around him. And Prabhupada turns to his servant and makes a comment. He has just performed a very big initiation, maybe 200 devotees. And he said, "We have increased the disciplic succession from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." That was his comment. "I've done my duty. I have increased the disciplic succession, the lineage from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." He was a messenger who had a duty. And if you want to understand Prabhupada, you must learn his message. What did he want to tell us? What was it what he was preaching to us? Prabhupada, as a messenger, is an ideal teacher. You know, a teacher doesn't just have something to tell about, but he knows how to tell it. It's called the pedagogic science of teaching. You can have a professor who has a lot of theoretical knowledge, but if he doesn't know the art to bring that knowledge from his understanding into the sometimes small heads of his audience, you know, then he is not a good teacher. Then he may be a good scholar, but not a teacher. Prabhupada as a messenger was a very good teacher. And I would like to tell you this with an example, which I think you can use in your preaching to the people you meet. It was in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada had just explained his point that Krishna means light and Maya means darkness. Whenever the Krishna light comes, the darkness of Maya cannot be there. And then he gave an example, and here is where the teaching comes. He said, if you hold your palm up, it's in the light. If you turn your palm down, it's in darkness. Some of you are still sleeping. Please wake up. I will repeat the point. If you hold your hand up, the palm is in the light. If you hold it down, it's in the darkness. So it's up to us whether we turn towards Krishna and are in the light, or we turn away from Krishna and we are in the darkness. And then he lifted his hand up. He said, see, this palm, if you turn it towards the light, it's full of light. But if you turn it away from the light, it's in the darkness. My dear devotees, this simple point, but which was so nicely illustrated by Prabhupada's gesture, should make it into your life. You always have the choice. Even here tomorrow when you go on parikrama, will you turn your head towards Krishna and be in the light? Will you turn your mind towards thinking of Krishna and be in the light? Or will you turn your mind away from Krishna and be in Maya? Tomorrow you will go on Govardhan Parikram. You can think about Krishna, that Krishna is there. He is manifested for you to see in the form of the beautiful Giriraj. Or you can be like that Indian man which I met. He said, why do you do Govardhan Parikrama? You remind me of this man in the movie. He had an iron bangle around his ankle, and that bangle would cut his ankle and would draw blood, and he would say, this is how I remember God. Why do you take this unnecessary austerity? And I said, you and Maya, you have turned your face away from Krishna. Turn your face to Krishna. He is here in the hill. Nothing great has ever been achieved without doing some sacrifice. This is a pleasing, a blissful sacrifice to please our Lord. When will you understand? So this man was a little grumpy. He didn't like to be chastised. And he cut dova grass. It's, you know, one of these high things which has a like a chamara, a bush, you know, gray. So then he grabbed it, and when he grabbed it, when he cut it, and he grabbed it, he cut his hand, and blood was coming. I didn't make any comment. I said, "You are the one who is like your character in the movie. Don't you see? But you are doing austerities for Maya. Learn to turn your face to Krishna." My dear devotees of the Chopati or the Radha Gopinath community, tomorrow, best is even now, learn to turn your minds in affection to Krishna. Then you will be in the light. If you allow your mind to go away, you will be in the shadow. This is especially true when you chant. You can immediately see. When you chant the holy name with a sense of connection, if you chant with the idea to glorify Krishna, you will be in the light of Krishna consciousness. But if you chant, and it's only lip service, if you chant with loud lips and a silent heart, you will be in the shadow of Maya. Especially in chanting, you must chant not only with your lips, but with your heart, in a sense of profound gratitude and with a sense of connection. A bond, a sambandha it's called in Sanskrit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur informs us, if we chant without thinking of Krishna, we only get the shadow name. Enough shadow Krishna consciousness, enough shadow parikram, enough shadow life. Get out of the shadow of Maya. Turn, especially when you do your sadhana, your spiritual practice, like for instance tomorrow your parikrama. Turn to Krishna. Sadhana means, spiritual practice means, whatever you are aware of, whatever is your intention while you do sadhana, that is what you get. When you think of Maya while you do your sadhana, you will get Maya. Sadhana is like a strong power machine. You have to direct it. If your automobile, your vehicle is directed towards Delhi, it will go to Delhi. If you direct the force of the automobile towards Govindakund, you go to Govindakund. So if you chant the holy names and you direct it to Krishna, you will go to Krishna. But if you chant the holy names and you think of Maya, people have come in Maya also, or have stayed in Maya.
So, perfect teacher. Krishna is light, Maya is darkness. If you hold your palm up, it's in the light. If you turn your palm down, it's in the darkness. It's up to us, said Prabhupada, whether we turn towards Krishna or away.
In preaching Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada had four aims. And it's very good for us to become aware of these four aims, see where we are, and make our aspirations strong to come to the next stage in our life. He revealed these four steps or four goals of Krishna consciousness in a discussion with the BBT editors. And it is available in a transcription. He said, when he discussed the BBT editorial policy, BBT means our magazine, in case some of you are very new.
The first goal is to wake the people up who are sleeping in the illusion of Maya. Wake up, Jeev Jago. You are not the body. Wake up. You are the soul. You never die. Second goal of is how to train people to act on the spiritual platform. Prabhupada said, this is what we basically teach in our Back to Godhead magazine for the public. But there are two more stages which our devotees have to learn. The third is understand Krishna's different pastimes as Radha and Krishna. And the fourth state where Prabhupada wanted to bring us to is, he said, it's the Paramahamsa stage. How to be always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Would you like me to repeat these four stages? Haribol means yes, yes. It usually means chant the holy name. Please, this is your chance, the second chance to be attentive. Something you have to learn. First goal, how to wake up from the illusion of Maya. Second, how to be trained to act on the spiritual platform. This is called technically Sambandha and Abhideya. Third is how to understand Krishna's different pastimes, like in the Leela, Radha Krishna Leela. Yes, we should learn about what Krishna is doing, what he is thinking. And the fourth is the Paramahamsa stage, how to be always absorbed in Krishna. If you asked me what impressed me the most in Srila Prabhupada, it was really this. I remember I once walked with Srila Prabhupada in there were many disciples, and we walked a morning walk in the Vondel Park. Maybe the Vondel Park is described in His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's book, The Journey Home. It was a place in Amsterdam where the hippies would lie and crash out with their sleeping bags. And Prabhupada made a walk in the morning, and there were all people in sleeping bags on the lawn. And he stopped before a tree where there was a nest. And in this nest, or at the edge of the nest, there was a little bird, just a little bird, just very little, who was thinking, should I stay or should I fly? He was not very expert in flying. He was afraid. He looked down and Prabhupada looked up. And we were there and thinking, what will happen now? And then Prabhupada made some gesture. Encouraging gesture. Come on, you can do it. And the little bird got a little confidence, jumped out of the nest and flew down. I mean, it was not excellent, not fantastic flying skills, but he somehow tumbled down and landed and stood there with a very proud, I don't know if birds can smile, but it looked as if he was, wow, I did it. Then Prabhupada turned to us and asked, so how does this little bird know to fly? He never flew before. How he just maneuvers. And for all of us, this was now the chance to wrestle intellectually with Srila Prabhupada. He liked this. We took the more intelligent amongst us took the point of the scientist. It's instinct, Prabhupada. It's instinct. It's somehow instinct. Prabhupada looked at that devotee who took the role of the scientist.
And I guess you have, your laughter shows me that you have heard already some of these verbal battles, so to say, in the early morning hours. And Prabhupada just said, this is only a word. The scientists don't know. Krishna is sitting in the heart and telling the bird how he should fly. And when I heard this, I thought, wonderful. My spiritual master thinks of Krishna even when a little bird flies out of the nest. He's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. This is wonderful. He lives together with Krishna. I will close now. Once, and this is especially heart touching, once Srila Prabhupada came back from a morning walk in Central Park, New York, and he was being driven in a car back to the temple. Maybe it was Henry Street, the temple. I think it was Henry Street, from the judging from the time. So while he was driving over, while he was being driven, he looked out of the window into the New York, you know, what was happening early in the morning in New York on the streets. And he saw in this in this 20 milliseconds, he saw a scene which touched his attention. He saw an elderly man picking up his little toddler. Toddler means a little child, a little son, and lifting him up to the mailbox. And the little child had a letter in the hand, and as his father lifted him up, he was throwing the letter into the slit of the mailbox. And then the father set him down on the ground again. Now this was a thing which happened in 20 seconds, or maybe 15 seconds. But for Prabhupada, it was a trigger. He looked to the devotees in the car, and he had tears in his eyes. His eyes were brilliant. They were big. There was nothing else in his attention than this little scene of the father lifting the boy to deliver a letter. And he said, alone the boy could not reach, but with the help of the father, he could do the impossible and throw the letter in. So, my dear devotees, what can we do alone? What can you do alone in spiritual life? Nothing, nothing. Spiritual life for Krishna is of a different dimension altogether. We are black ants on black stones in a black night in a dark universe. We are very helpless and blind, so blind. But with the help of our divine spiritual master, our holy exalted spiritual master, we can be lifted up to a position where we can participate in transcendence, or where we can act on the spiritual platform. This is a very important meditation on the disappearance day of our Srila Prabhupada. Let us not allow him to disappear from our mind. Let us not be confident to sit in a ceremony where we say, oh yes, Srila Prabhupada disappeared so and so many years ago. He was a great personality. No, this is not how to deal with a transcendental personality. We should aspire in our lives to let Prabhupada appear in our hearts, because we need him. We need him to lift us up so that also our little request, our little note, our aspiration, our confidential hope in spiritual life can be put into the mailbox. In our ISKCON society, we have the experience that our spiritual masters are always telling us how important for them Srila Prabhupada is. They always refer us to the books of Srila Prabhupada. They refer us to the lectures. And they repeat what Srila Prabhupada taught them. Early in the morning, we wake up with Sangsara Dhavana Dalida Loka. And in the evening, we end our days by thinking of our spiritual masters. Prabhupada is present in the form of his books and his recorded messages. The memories, like today we heard from Shuddhakirti, one very endearing aspect of Srila Prabhupada's personality, how he would always bring out the honesty and the best out of his disciples. Yes, let us not allow that Prabhupada disappears. A lover can never allow the beloved to go. That is not possible. There is no separation. So on this disappearance day, I pray that Prabhupada doesn't lose his patience with me, who is a very useless disciple, unfortunately. I pray that he always continues to grab me, lift me up, so that my message, my note, my request comes in the mailbox. And I pray similarly that all of you sincere Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis will always experience Srila Prabhupada's transcendental presence in your life. Let me end with one little formula, because Shyamananda spoke about the holy name. Once Prabhupada was asked, how can you control the mind when you chant? Are you interested in this answer? Do you sometimes have this experience that you try to chant but the mind just goes to Mumbai or anywhere with not so very important to go at this time? Prabhupada gave a very, very practical formula. He gave that to one devotee called Uttama Shloka, and he said, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. What that means is, you have, if you want to hear yourself, then you have to first make the sound. So you start with chanting sincerely, oh Krishna, for so many long years in this material world, I have turned away from you, but now I'm turning back to you as your sincere servant. please accept me. So you chant like this sincerely, and then you try to listen to your sound. No? Just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. If you like to take notes, this is a good thing to take notes, the note of, and then apply it with profit tomorrow. I wish you a wonderful Giriraj Parikram. When you do Parikram, you must know Giriraj is walking behind you. And he wants to know what is in your mind. What do you want? When you want a child, he will say, okay, next year. Or if you want money, he will give this. But if you want love of Godhead, he will say, let's see what he will pray next year. If he still wants next year love of God, he will test you. Krishna doesn't always immediately reveal himself when you want him. He wants to test how sincerely you are. So tomorrow is your chance. Fix on your best desires, on your spiritual desires. And what to say? I want to say so much more, but there are more qualified speakers. Chen, thank you very, very much. All the best for you in your spiritual life. It's intoxicating to sit before so many sincere Vaishnavas. I'm not accustomed to so many devotees at one place. I'm more accustomed to see so many non-devotees on one place and talk to them, but it is highly intoxicating to see you. Please, may our family increase more and more. That is very good. All the best for each single one of you. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hare Hare Bol. Hare Krishna.